Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text Number 15. Yubhis Makarna Guru Salgya Kamish Komushvadabra. Rajanya Varya Rata Mandala Manditasu.
Rajanya Varya Rata Mandala Manditasu.
Agre karo mama vibho rata yutapanam.
Agre karo mama vibho rata
yutapanam. Ayur manamsi chadrisa saha uja archat.
Ayur manamsi chadrisa saha uja archat.
Translation. It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone, and who, in the battlefield, withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm of the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas. Headed by Bhisma, Karna, Drona, Salya, etc., their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expands Himself by His plenary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart. And thus, He directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness, and knowledge. The absence of intelligence and all psychological activities. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As the Supreme Lord, He can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to His own plan. He wanted that battle to establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of this planet, and to facilitate this transcendental business, He killed all who were on the opposite party by His omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhisma, Drona, Salya, and it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare, but they are all done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics, and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this Himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here is another evidence that Krishna protects His devotee, even in the most trying situations, and when a situation looks like it's impossible to win, the Lord makes the impossible possible. Because it's in the heart of every living entity, therefore, He gives knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So because of that, He can make the enemy commanders forgetful of something. And they can make major blunders, although in normal times they wouldn't do that. So this all happened because Krishna wanted to establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of the Kuru dynasty, or emperor of the Kuru empire, which stretched through all parts of the earth planet. So this is what is not understood by people who have self-interest. They rely on their own knowledge and their own expertise and their own affiliations like Duryodhana, he affiliated himself with very powerful people, and people had extreme knowledge, like Dronacharya, was an expert at warfare, and Bhisma Dev, who was basically undefeatable. But however, because Krishna was on Arjuna's side, they were all destined to lose. And therefore, Prabhupada describes Krishna as having an omnipotent will. Omnipotent means, it's a Latin word, all powers, and his willpower is all-powerful. So no one can go against it or nullify it. Now, this is a question of consciousness. And consciousness is explained on different levels. So the different levels of consciousness are called Brahmapucham. It's explained in the 13th chapter, 5th verse of Bhagavad Gita in the purport. However, it also is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada says, within the body, or the material body, there are five different departments of existence, known as anamaya, pranamaya, monomaya, vijnanamaya, and anandamaya. Maya doesn't mean maya like illusions. Maya is the way you pronounce that. It has two long vowels. But when it's just regular short vowel, maya, that means a certain state of consciousness. So in the beginning, all living entities are food conscious. That's called anamaya. And like a child or an animal, is satisfied only by getting nice food. So that's the stage. In that stage, the goal of life is to eat sumptuously. And that's called anamaya. Ana means food or grains. So when one becomes a little more advanced in consciousness, it's called pranamaya. Pranamaya means one is conscious of living symptoms. So what are living symptoms? People move, people talk, people are active. So this pranamaya is usually, people are very concerned about living and not being endangered in any way, not being afraid or being pursued by anyone. So therefore, this is a stage called pranamaya, or consciousness of one's existence, and conscious of the living symptoms. Then after that stage comes manomaya, which is the mental platform. In materialistic civilization, primarily, is situated in these three stages: anamaya, and pranamaya, and manomaya. In other words, conscious of food, conscious of living symptoms, and conscious of mental activity. So that's what you call the level of most people in material existence. But after that stage, there comes what's called vijnanamaya, in that stage, the materialistic stage, people are interested in economic development, and then defending themselves from annihilation, and then speculation, or what you would call philosophical approach to the values of life based on economic development and sense gratification. So After that, one comes to a philosophical level and may be able to understand that I am not this body. So they begin to differentiate between the body and the soul. And this is called Vijnanamaya. So that they begin to see that they're not only this body, but there's something in the body that animates it, and that is understood as consciousness, and that's coming from something that's not material. So this is a higher stage, and this is the beginning, or let's say a faint light of spirituality. Then by further evolution or development in spiritual life, one comes to understanding of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one develops the relationship with Krishna through devotional service. And this level of Krishna consciousness is called Anandamaya. And Anandamaya means that one is blissful due to knowledge and eternity. In other words, one has already realized knowledge and eternity in the sense that they understand I'm not this body, I'm an eternal soul. But then one goes further and feels transcendental bliss always. So this joyful nature is called Anandamaya, and that's on the level of pure Krishna consciousness. So therefore this Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, and Vijnanamaya are considered to be still in the conditioned material stage of life. But as soon as one attains the Anandamaya stage, he's a liberated soul. He or she is a liberated soul. And Bhagavad Gita also explains this when it says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Na Sochati Na Kangsati, Samak Sarvesa Bhutesu Mad Bhaktim. So it says that this Brahma Bhuta stage is the same as Anandamaya stage. But then one can go further, and that is where, well, this Brahma Bhuta says no more anxiety, no more hankering. One is prasanatma, feels transcendental bliss. One is satisfied by virtue of their soul and not interested anymore in bodily pleasures. And when one goes even further, where they're samak sarve subhutesu, they experience this equality of all living beings, because they see that all living beings have an eternal soul, and then the super soul is present in the heart of all living entities. So therefore, they respect all living beings, and so that's a higher stage than simply Brahma Bhuta. And then, there's no sense desire for sense gratification, so now they begin to desire or hanker for spiritual life rather than material life. So they don't. The Mayavadis want to eliminate all desires, but the devotees at this stage are full of spiritual hankering to please Krishna, and they're freed of all the material stages: Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, and Vijnanamaya, and then they're in this transcendental stage, where the super soul and the individual soul are experiencing oneness of purpose, not oneness of the jiva becomes the paramatma, but this oneness of purpose, where one follows the orders of the Lord, and there's no losing of one's individual existence. So this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita also, where it says, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Then this Brahma Bhuta Anandamaya stage is complete only when there's an exchange of love between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entities. So unless one comes to the Nandamaya stage, they're actually wasting their time in material life. And they're not living on a higher state of consciousness than that of animals, basically. So this is what differentiates devotees from Mayavadis and devotees from materialists. And here we see that Arjuna is such a devotee. He's come to this stage of prasanatma, completely self-satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization due to the mercy of the Lord, who's cleared away all his doubts. And now he's ready to reciprocate with the Lord by following his orders strictly. So that's the same thing for a devotee. When we accept initiation and we promise to follow the regulative principles, that's very similar to Arjuna becoming self-realized and beginning to follow or everything Krishna says. So that Karishye Vachanam Tava, I will now I'll do whatever you say, Krishna. In the same way, one promises to follow the regulative principles and chant 16 good rounds every day. So that following is a symptom of being elevated to the transcendental level of Krishna consciousness, if one maintains it without the breakage. So, Mamchayovi Pocharine, it says that one who engages in Krishna consciousness always and never falls down under any circumstance rises above the influence of the three modes of material nature and enters into the state of this Brahma Bhuta's transcendental state. So the following of the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness is absolutely important in order to rise above the influence of the modes of material nature and begin to experience this transcendental state of Brahma Bhuta or Anandamaya, which is on the level of Krishna of Krishna himself and all liberated devotees. So Prabhupada says, but because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all of this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. So when we engage in genuine devotional service, we actually experience these things. We see how the Lord is opening doors for us, is clearing obstacles for us. And because we're patient and we depend on the goodwill of the Lord, we're able to go through all difficult situations in the material world without becoming affected by them. And this only increases our faith more and more in Krishna and convinces us that we've made the right decision to follow the regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna. And if we have the wherewithal to preach effectively to other people the importance of Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's stop there. Are there any questions about this purport or the verse?
I have a question, Maharaj, from the purport. I hear this said that Lord Krishna wanted to establish Yudhis Maharaj an emperor of the clan of the whole clan. So my question is that this 5,000 years ago, but now in the modern history, everywhere in that library world, there's no mention about this.
What do you mean? You mentioned the history of Maharaj Yudhisthira being king of the universe.
Yeah. That the world was had one emperor, you know. Mm-hmm. Even leave Maharaj Yudhisthira alone, it probably came even later. But they don't say anything about it. The history just goes up to certain.
Well, it's not in the Bible, it's not in the Quran, it's not in the Buddhist scriptures, but it's in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, but it's in history, if you leave the Holy Scripture.
History, because history only goes back about, of the materialists, only goes back about 3,500 years ago.
3,500.
Doesn't go beyond that. They might say it does, but obviously we know it doesn't because they don't mention any of this.
Okay, do they believe the world, the history began from
3,500 years ago? Well, according to the Bible, at least it's been this way for many, many years, they believe it started around 5,000 years ago. Of course, with all the scientific and let's say advancement and carbon dating and all those techniques, the scientists debunked that idea that the world is only 5,000 years old.
So therefore, the theories or the statements are questionable because there must be light. There must have been light before that. Why do you even think like that?
Well, because of the archaeology and carbon dating and all that, the scientists have proven that the world started way before 5,000 years ago. They're talking about hundreds of millions and billions of years ago.
But you know what Prabhupada says?
I mean, the Bible, up until, you know, the 19th, 20th century, according to the Bible, only started 5,000 years ago. The history, God creates the world.
That's what I'm saying, very questionable.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of mistakes in the Bible. Because the Jews who wrote the Old Testament, they put in a story about the creation because they had to start somewhere. But their main interest was writing the history of the Jewish religion or people. And that only goes back about 3,500 years ago. I mean, they don't have any records before that. Let's put it like that. There are no records. Yeah. There is archaeological proof that there was existences before that. But, you know, when they wrote their Old Testament, they had to put in something about creation. So what they put in was generally, you know, right. You know, God created everything. There's one God. And, and they say it took him 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. It's all in the Genesis of the Bible. But that they were not so interested in how everything started. They were interested in their history. But they couldn't do their history without having some starting point. So they had to put something about the creation.
So they don't have concept of beginningless.
Well, it's just like the existence of the soul. They don't believe the soul begins until it has a material body. Okay? And that's explained in the Bible also. So, but after that, according to most of the Judeo-Christian philosophy, the soul can attain eternity, you know, if it, you know, follows God's instructions and live forever. But their understanding of the individual soul is incomplete because they don't think that before coming into the material body, the soul existed.
Yeah, like Krishna said about Bhagavad Gita, that's why you can
there was never a time.
Yeah, any time that, you know.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, let's go back to your question. Mm-hmm. The ancient Jews put some explanation about the creation, but their main concern was the history of their people. Right? But what they put in is not not false. In a general way, it does explain the creation of the world because there's one God and he created everything. But it's not detailed. Like if you go in the Bhagavatam and read the third canto, there's a detailed explanation of how it actually happened.
Very rich history, you know, when you read Shastra. Very rich. You
know, well, yeah. I mean, all knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay.
It's very sad, you know. Do you think that everything, you know, everything began?
Well, it's up to us to spread the glories of the Bhagavatam.
Surely.
You know, that Prabhupada has given us that job. That's service. So we have to preach, help people develop the desire to read Bhagavatam.
And you know which things are before?
What actually happened. No other scripture has such detailed explanation of the creation, of history, and also the spiritual world. There's no explanation of the spiritual world in other scriptures. You know, detailed explanation. It's very sketchy. Whereas Bhagavatam is exacting.
That's why, for example, if you say that if all the books of the world are destroyed, whatever, there's no loss. If you only smell Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Not only says that, also the Vaishnava Acharyas say you don't have to read any other book to be educated. Just this one book. You know, I mean, two books, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But see, Bhagavatam is the extension of Bhagavad Gita. Everything explained in Bhagavad Gita is elaborated more deeply in the Bhagavatam.
Basically, Lord Krishna summarized all Bhagavatam in Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Hari Bol, yeah. Brahma Buddha and Ananda Maya are the same. Yeah. That's explained in the later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam when he gets to the prayers by the personified Vedas. So it says it says, as long as the living entities are situated in the lower four stages of life, anamaya, pranamaya, manamaya, and vijnanamaya, they are considered to be in the material condition of life. But as soon as one reaches the stage of anandamaya, he is a liberated soul. The anandamaya stage is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma-bhuta. Okay? There it is said, in the Brahma-bhuta stage of life, there is no anxiety and no hankering. This stage begins when one is equally disposed toward all living entities, and it expands to the stage of Krishna consciousness, in which one always hankers to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This hankering for advancement in devotional service is not the same as hankering for sense gratification in material existence. In other words, hankering remains in spiritual life, but it becomes purified. Similarly, when our senses are purified, they are freed from all material stages, namely anamaya, pranamaya, manamaya, and vijnanamaya, and they become situated in the highest stage, anandamaya, or blissful life in Krishna consciousness. So anandamaya and Brahma-bhuta are the same thing. Hari Bol. All glories to Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.